Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. This week, I have a great conversation with my man, Brian Quinn, from the Impractical Jokers. I nicknamed him a few years ago Alpha Eeyore because he is a very dominant male man, but at the same time, has that Eeyore quality of just, he kind of wants to just... sometimes just be alone and, you know, tinker with like scrap metal. And that combination is very fun to be around because the dude is the man. And we just got done with a 9-arena tour in the United Kingdom and Ireland. I was their opening act. And it was one of the most insane experiences of my life. The smallest crowd they had was, I think, 11,000 people. So, yeah, they did the O2 Arena 4 times in London. I'm currently in London. I'm doing a couple shows by myself before heading home. So I had this great talk with Brian, and I'm going to play it for you guys. Because throughout this tour, we just kept having these like great talks. And he was a fireman before he... got to become a full-time comedian. And we're talking about the need for laughter in high-stakes situations and how the removal of that, the taboo nature of that, making things offensive, really takes such a toll on people. And one thing I love about being in England and Europe in general is they don't have this toxic view of race that America has. Largely because they didn't have African slavery. So they don't have that hanging over their heads like America does. But they have their own situations. And I was hanging out with the guys from The Inbetweeners, that very popular television show in England. Really, really great dudes. And one of the guys I was talking to last night about how comedy is changing so much that England and English people were always so known for comedy. And the history of comedy in England is a proud one and an incredible one. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, the bleak weather, the isolated nature, the amount of conquerors that came here and just killed everybody. And then, of course, World War I and World War II. The amount of 20th century death I don't think Americans can really comprehend. The war that we lost the most amount of people was the Civil War, and America lost 600,000 people. In World War II, millions of British people died. Same with World War I. And, you know, bombs were happening in England. It wasn't a foreign war. America has this thing where when we think of war, we always picture going somewhere else. Europe has a much different view of war. You know, the Nazis came to England and dropped bombs on England. And so out of that came this very dry, very dark sense of humor where you could make fun of anything and it was all good. And firefighters, military, a lot of people with these very emotionally difficult jobs find solace in jokes. And so the political correct movement of trying to remove comedy from people's lives and making everything taboo, making everything offensive, is really taking a toll on the world. And it's taking a toll on people emotionally because they don't have that release valve. Because Brian and I talk later in the episode. Make sure you listen to the whole thing because the last 10 minutes are really strong. Because we talk about the concept of how leaders need to be able to be mocked. Everyone, like, you can't let someone in your group unless they can take a joke, because there really is evolutionary reasons for that. If someone is so narcissistic that they're not allowed to be mocked, they're not allowed to be drilled down, they're not allowed to be poked at, they're gonna end up stealing your shit. And it's true, especially in male communities, like, you know, firefighters, pro football teams, military. Like, when you're around a lot of these dudes, they go at each other hard. And if a guy won't take it, people sense that that guy should not be entrusted with power, because it means that they're putting themselves above the group. It's very interesting stuff. So that interview is coming right now. First, just real fast, We have a great, great, great sponsor, and they've committed to us, which is awesome. And they sent Blue Apron. Blue Apron is food. I don't know how to describe it. They've been sending us food, and it's so good because I love cooking, and I love one thing I miss about Los Angeles is high quality food. Saranac Lake has great food, but in LA, it's just the freshest fish and local chicken and avocados and all these amazing things. And in Saranac Lake, we have good food, but it's nothing like that. That's why Blue Apron is huge for us, because they send us the freshest, best food with like an exact recipe so you can cook it yourself at home with your family. And it makes it very affordable to have just 5-star restaurant meals. And promo code? Is that what these things are called? Just to show you that this is when you know a company's awesome, is when they want you to just have their shit for free for a bit because they know you're gonna like it. So if you go to blueapron.com/Owen, which is my name, O-W-E-N, or it's pronounced Oven if you're Russian, they will give you 3 meals for free with free shipping, all free. And every week there's new menus, there's all kinds of stuff. And so go to blueapron.com/Owen, you have nothing to lose. They will send you free meals. And if you don't like it, bail. But I have a feeling you're gonna like it, because there's nothing more important than food. Because if you stop eating it, you die. That got a little morbid. You love how it feels, you love how it tastes. You know, you create your own home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait, because this, I don't know how long they're going to let me give away free stuff. So blueapron.com/Owen, O-W-E-N, Blue Apron. It is a better way to cook, because just like whenever I have to get in shape for something, I use a trainer, Kevin Lilly, out of LA, because no matter how much I know about exercise, you always want an expert to be like, this is what you should do. And food's no different. You can walk around the supermarket all you want, and in the end of the day, you don't know enough about food. None of us do. So let someone else help you out. BlueApron.com/Owen. And everybody who uses this code helps us maintain a relationship with Blue Apron and helps keep the lights on in this wonderful world of comedy analysis, thought processing, and my audience of people that are capable of having different ideas in their head simultaneously. I had a good talk with somebody about that. I can't remember who, but about what kind of people listen to my podcast. And I think I finally figured it out. It's people that aren't susceptible to only having one thought. You know, because it's like some people only are left wing or only are right wing or only are pro this and anti this and pro this and anti this. And that's a form of fundamentalism. So what I found in my mind, and I guess the people that I attract, are people that can see many different sides to the same thing. That like one thought doesn't make you not like someone permanently. It just makes you weigh that thought and think, do I agree with this thought or not? Having several contradicting thoughts simultaneously in your brain and wrestling with those thoughts, I think is very important for life, especially in this world of constant information, you know, potentially fake news, just these culture wars that are happening, these bloodless battles that are happening all the time. And so that's why I value you guys so much for listening and for interacting with me. And my email is whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. If you yourself have a job that requires a great deal of humor, I know nurses do that. I know a lot of nurses that tell me that they have to make fun of some pretty crazy stuff. But I'm always down to hear more. And if you go to hugepianist.com, you'll see my upcoming dates. I haven't put on Sacramento yet, but Sacramento Punchline's coming up. I'm doing one night at the Los Angeles Improv in February, and then Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan in February, and then a local show in Saranac Lake. My brother and I are going to do that at Pendragon Theater at one of these days. So keep an eye out for all that. Of course, you can reach me at Twitter at Owen Benjamin and Instagram at Owen Ben Jam. Ever since doing this tour, like, my Instagram went from like 8,000 to like 15,000 in like a week. It's nuts how popular the Impractical Jokers are, both at home and abroad. So check out this talk with Brian Quinn. Listen to the whole thing, because it's strong. I just listened to it in the sauna, and I laughed out loud a lot. And if you want to support the show and you want to support your body and your family, go to blueapron.com/Owen and get that train moving. Yeah, get it moving. So here's me and Brian on a boat heading to the O2 Arena and the Thames River. Much love.
You want to go up front so we're not, so we don't pick up?
Yeah.
That's a good spot. I'm sorry.
No, we're just recording something.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but nothing exciting. Oh, yeah.
Firefighter.
Are we going?
Yeah, we're just fucking rolling around.
Just floating down the Thames?
Dude, we literally are just floating down the Thames River.
Yeah.
In this beautiful boat.
London's just going by.
Dude, it's almost like, think about how many people have been, like, hung or, like, drowned in this river.
Back to Roman era. Like, thousands of years people have been dying here.
Dude, even the Celts.
Now, you're even talking about, like, that. You're talking about stuff that's, like, shit that doesn't, like, happen as much today, like beheadings. I always think about stuff that's, like, 1,000 years ago, some motherfucker was, like, in love with some broad who was, like, nah. And he was like, no, no. And drank himself to death in a fucking bar nearby.
Totally. Or he just, like, or he burned her.
Yeah, probably more likely he burned her.
Yeah, because Henry VIII, I was, reading about Henry VIII, like, just how he would just execute chicks that, like, weren't, like, really into him, his stench anymore.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, this, he had a jousting accident, so his legs stunk for his entire, like, the rest of his life. He was, like, this really fit legend.
Really?
Yeah, and then he got, like, splinters and all this shit in his leg, and it was swollen, and there's a stench to it for the rest of his life. And I feel like it's one of those things where if a chick's like, hey, Henry, can you, like, wash your leg? He was like, oh, you don't fucking tell Henry VIII that shit. And then he just, like, burned her.
He was right. You don't tell Henry VIII that shit.
A fact a lot of people do not know about you is that you were a firefighter.
Yeah. Yeah, 8 years with the FDNY.
That's amazing.
Give or take a month or two.
I get so envious of real men like you.
I used to be a real man.
You still are a real man.
I felt that way for a little while after I retired. But it's gone away.
Now you're just circling the drain?
Yeah, I'm circling the drain. That's going to be my book one day, Circling the Drain.
It's such a good title. Yeah. We were talking before about using humor to deal with, like, crazy shit. And, like, because you had a job where you'd see, like, dead people and fire.
Yeah, dead kids. Ugh. Like, even a fire, which, like, is fun to go to if you're a fireman. At the base of it is, like, someone's whole life is getting destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, their hopes, their dreams, their memories. It's all getting fucking destroyed. And you're just like, we got a good one. Let's go fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know? It's a weird gig.
And so, like, you're saying that, like, to not be haunted, like, you'd make jokes about shit?
You just make jokes, like...
Because military does the same shit.
You have to. You can't, there's no way to deal with, like, a fucked up, like, a dead kid in a car accident without, like, within hours blaming your friend for his death somehow.
Right, right, right.
They just be like, you're the fucking worst CPS. Like, you know what I mean? When he got there, the kid just needed a Band-Aid. And you fucking killed him.
Jesus.
You killed him. Shit like that, you know? Just horrible jokes, but, like,
yeah.
What else are you going to do? Like, you can't sit there. You don't want, like, I would say this all the time to people. It's like, you don't want people who are, like, going to turn it into a sensitive fucking cry fest in that position.
No, because then they won't be able to act.
No.
Like, that'll ensure the death of your family.
Right. Then we definitely won't go back to work.
Right. They'll just be on leave. You know, like, they'll have nightmares to the point where they won't be able to... Like, if you give someone the release valve, which is comedy, it allows them to continue having heroic jobs that, like, none of us could fucking do.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a big problem I have with just the culture today of just like, if they read a text in someone's phone, it's like, you're fired. And
right.
And you're like, well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You don't know what led to it. You don't know
it's
where.
It's the arrogance of it, too. It's the arrogance of saying that, like, the moral superiority it requires to say what someone can and cannot joke about.
Right.
It's one thing if you have actual power and you're having, like, bigoted policy. Like, I get that there's no place for that.
Of course.
But when you're doing...
Right.
Well, yeah, no, but I think it's important to make that distinction because we're... Dudes like us are always talking about humor. Where it's like, if we just say some shit to our friends, we should never be in trouble for that shit. And then, like, because everyone is just, like, they're assuming that... It's this empathy bomb. Because I consider compassion really good and empathy either good or bad, depending on how it's used. Where, like, you just picture the worst possible person in the most weakest position, and then this, you know, the chicken that's forced to cross the road.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas while the chicken crossed the road, it's like, the chicken has a fucking life, okay? It's like, knock, knock. It's like, I have agoraphobia, and I don't want to answer the door. Like, you can't even have the most basic joke structure if you think of, like, an agoraphobe who doesn't want to go outside, and you're knocking on their door.
Right.
And when they say, who's there, it's like the joke falls apart. And so, I don't know, I think we agree on a lot of shit.
I think we do. I mean, look, because I know you pretty well by now, and it's like, I know you're so far from, like, you don't like upsetting people.
No.
You don't like hurting people.
No, I'm a big bear.
You're a big bear, baby. You're a good person. So it's just like, I would hate to ever see, like, you tell a joke and people be like, ruin his career, like... Livelihood. Let's take away his fucking livelihood.
Oh yeah, people don't understand that happens. It's like people get fucked. I did a shout out to Amy recently where I was like, this is a real woman, and it was like her with like a baby. I'm like, Bono's not a real woman because Bono got woman of the year.
Yeah, I know, right.
And I was like, this is what a real woman is, and people called me transphobic, and I'm like,
what?
Oh dude, and like Chrissy Teigen that celebrity. Like, follows me and shit. Like, people will go on my list of who follows me.
Right.
And then they'll start trashing me to those people. Where they're like, did you know that you have a homophobe? You follow a homophobic or a transphobic comedian? And I start watching this. It's like, what do you think the outcome of this is going to be? Do you think people think that me giving my wife props and fucking make fun of little Bono makes me a hateful fucking person? Or are you out of your mind? That's how you get more Trump.
Right.
That's how you make sure Trump's going to be in for 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that it's weird. It's like, it's that thing, like, what do you get? Like, all right, let's even say, which clearly anybody with a brain would be like, all right, you're not transphobic because you're giving props to your wife and calling her a real woman.
Right.
But, like, all right, let's say you were transphobic.
Right.
Like, okay.
I know, totally.
Like, okay.
I'm just saying, I feel exactly the same way. That's why I'm saying bigoted policymakers, where it's like, you have a right to not want to be around transgendered people.
Sure.
But the only time when transphobic matters is if you're like the CEO of Wegmans and you don't let transphobic people in your supermarket. That's an issue. But or trans people in your supermarket. But when you're just a dude and you're like, yeah, it kind of freaks me out to see a dude with a dick and a dress. Like, that is, you have a right to think that way. That's part of freedom. Freedom isn't about just thinking the same way that you think.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that, like, I feel now it's just like, people want, like, honestly, like, I remember in my teens, early 20s, feeling about racists and, like, crazy fucking hateful people the way I feel about the far left now.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it consumes my thoughts where I'm like, back then I was just like, because I grew up in New York City, so, like, there was never that thing of, like, you know, it was a melting pot.
Right.
So I was always like, I'm always like, well, I don't understand why. Like, how stupid are you for being like, I don't like black people? It was always black people in New York City.
Right, right, right.
Nobody ever had a problem with Puerto Ricans or anything like that. For some reason, it was always black people. And I was, and like, you would see the people like in the KKK, that's extreme, but like, where they're like, I don't want my daughter dating a black guy. And you're just like, I don't even get it. You guys are fucking nuts. But now it's just shifted to like, you guys are fucking nuts. You're telling me this guy can't be freaked out by a guy with a dick and a dress?
100%.
Like, what's wrong with you?
It's almost like the tyranny shifted sides.
Yeah.
Where you, because I was the same way. I'm always like, how could anyone, like, not like a transgender person for the sake of transgendered? And now they're pushing it so far where they're like, look at her, she's the perfect woman, and you're like,
right.
now fuck you guys.
Right. And not to, like, this is the thing. I have no opinion aside from God bless and live your life to any trans people.
Exactly.
Like, none of it's directed at them. Like, none. I'm like, dude, I'm with you.
100%.
Ma'am, dude, whatever.
Oh,
whatever.
And dude, my piano teacher switched genders when I was like 11, and he feels the same way. Like, a lot of actual trans people, they want to be known as the gender that they feel they truly are, not this like 90 gender fucking madness.
Yeah, you know? I don't even give, like, to me, it's just like, maybe it's because I'm older. Well, I'm 40, but you know what I mean? I'm getting, like, middle age where I'm just like, I literally do not give a shit what anybody wants to do.
As long as
it's not hurting someone else. Like, what do I give a fuck? Who wants to dress like what? Who feels... Look, if this person feels that they're born in the wrong body, who the fuck am I to be like...
No,
I have an opinion about it.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care.
Exactly. Like, I'm so with you, brother. But, and the thing that started pissing people off is the trans bathrooms above, like, mother's bathrooms. You know, like, people, right. Like, because it starts...
But why is that not a valid statement?
I think it absolutely is. Right. I don't think that we should be... And if they do make trans bathrooms ahead of, like, moms with baby bathrooms, fine. But, like, don't make it seem like I'm a hateful person for thinking that, like, a mom whose baby just shit all over himself on an airplane may need their own bathroom
right.
faster than someone who's wearing a dress and he has a wiener.
Right. It's like, let's treat, like, all right, I'm...
Like, I want a cocaine bathroom.
Yeah, where's my cocaine? No, but it's like, the woman, like... To me, it's just like, all right, man or woman, whatever gender you are, or you want to be, or you are, or whatever, it's like, you still don't deserve a bathroom before a mother with a child. Like,
right.
That doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Like, she's like, oh my, like a mother is like, when did they start being the bad guys, mothers? Is that a thing?
Bro, I swear to God, it's insane. It's like, now that, like, because Amy has her degree in engineering, like, she was on that, like, she's not a social justice warrior, but that path of, like, empowered woman, making money, all that shit. And now she's a stay-at-home mom. And way more, like, weird looks from, like, the far left if you're a mom than if you're an engineer.
Why do you think that is?
I think because they're not that into families. I think they're more into, like, they're more into the show Girls, where it's like girls are supposed to be, like, androgynous, money-making machines.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Alright.
Let them think whatever. Fuck it.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like, I wonder, like, your perspective is different than mine because you have a kid. And that, you know, Wally's got a
fucking mistake.
He's got to grow up in this world. Shit just got real dark.
Yeah, fuck him.
like he, well, you know, you got a son that's going to carry on after you're gone.
That's such a good point. It's like, that's... Like, I start caring more about the dumb shit like this because I'm starting to be like, how am I supposed to explain to him what a man is? And I'm not talking about trans people.
You're not allowed
people.
To. You're
trans
not allowed
people
to
are not opinion. The problem. It's the social justice warriors. Because, like, I could explain a trans person. It's like, hey, well, you know how you, like, secretly want to be a ninja and one day you could have been a ninja if, like, given the opportunity? Well, that's like them. And he'd be like, oh, okay. I'm like, you know how you, like, love your dick and everything? Well, that one didn't really love his dick so much. And they're like, oh, that makes sense. But how am I supposed to say that, like, the man not letting other men have their own opinions is a man? I have a much harder time explaining a social justice warrior as a man than I do someone who transitioned into being a man. Isn't that ironic?
It is very odd. But it is, like, the very definition of masculinity. They've taken the word toxic and slapped it on it.
Oh.
So it's just like, so now just being a fucking...
It
Dude,
makes me want to just show my dick to everybody. And just be like, this dick is valid.
This dick has feelings.
Yeah, you don't make this dick into a piece of patriarchy. This dick is just here to pee and come and wiggle around in my pants.
I'm not going
to
be your bad guy. Like, I'm not. I'm not going to be your bad guy. Like, yeah. Fuck you. Like, I'm not going to do it.
What's been your highlights of the tour so far?
Oof, there's been a lot. There really hasn't been any duds on this one, man.
Dude, we've had a blast.
We've been hanging out. Antiquing. I love Antiquing.
Dude, salvage.
You and I...
To the Salvage Boys.
We're doing it now. Like, we didn't plan to record this. Like, Owen and I will just break off, and people will just hear hysterical laughter from whatever corner we're in. Because you and I get lost in these loops.
Oh, dude, logic. That's why, like, this is what I'm like. We got to record one of these loops.
Yeah, oh, this is great. Like, the Jack the Ripper one.
Jack the person?
He's like, we're talking about Jack the Ripper day one in London. That's the boat picking up steam. And I forget that. Oh, we were saying, I had said that, Jack, say what you will about Jack the Ripper, he's not a racist.
Yeah.
Because he killed white women.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were like, yeah, he's not just Jack the Ripper, he's Jack the person. It started into like a sensitive appeal for Jack the Ripper.
Dude, I tweeted it. I looked at my Twitter last night. I deleted it because it was the third time I've tweeted it. But I said Jack the Ripper more like Jack the person with a weird one of those slanted faces at like 4:30 in the morning, and I was getting obsessed with sarcasm. I'm like, how can anyone not be sarcastic in this insane world? It's almost like you're all as dumb as women.
So now you're just poking the bear.
Yeah, but I like. But I like set it up so it's clear I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, that's the problem, though.
Yeah,
it's funny. I had an interesting conversation with my buddy Ian, who wrote The Inbetweeners.
Yeah,
and his humor was very politically incorrect. He said he didn't think they'd be able to make Inbetweeners today, and I asked him, well, how do you feel about that? And he said that when he made it. It seemed like the jokes that he made in the show were not coming from a position of power, so he felt comfortable making them.
Interesting.
But he's like, now that Brexit happened and Trump won, he's like, suddenly the jokes don't feel as funny to him because now it's just not clearly stupid shit being said by stupid people.
Right.
Now it's a legitimized opinion.
I know. That's why I don't think people realize that, like, Trump winning isn't the best for comedy because it almost makes...
It's fucking horrible.
No, because it's like, yeah, because you think it would be because you're like, oh, this buffoon, we get to make fun of him. And it's bad because now when we do our style of jokes, which is to like poke the bear a bit,
right.
People look at you like you're in the cabinet.
Right. Right. And according to Ian, and you know, honestly, he changed my opinion a bit on it. Not too much. I'm still going to...
I'm still poking that bear.
Yeah, but like, you know, he gave me a perspective that I didn't think of before. And you know how it came? It wasn't from some fucking asshole on Twitter.
Exactly.
Being like, how dare you say that about your wife? It came from somebody being like, I'm in the same boat as you. This is a viewpoint I have is why we have to watch a little bit more of the humor we put out. And I got it. I may not agree with it 100%.
Yeah.
But it gave me something to think about as opposed to being like, this world's going insane.
Totally. Dude, I had a great talk with the dude from Harry Potter last night.
Oh, yeah, Matt.
Dude, he's a smart fucker. We're giving each other good perspectives on, I think I gave him a good perspective on climate change deniers, like why certain people just refuse to admit it and how they're not, like, bad people. You know, we had a great talk about how a lot of the supporters of people aren't bad people. They're coming from their own places, you know?
Right.
And he gave me a really cool insight into the American Revolution where he was like, he was talking about how, like, they had to beat Napoleon, like, and they're, like, really glad that they didn't put all the resources against us and they, like, really took down Napoleon.
I keep hearing that. That's the second time I've heard that.
Yeah, dude. That's, like, did people hear, I mean...
Like, they basically gave up on America and that's why we won.
Yeah, half of me...
But is that their bullshit?
Half of me is almost, like, thinking that's, like what the Russians said with the Miracle on Ice, where they're like, we had a lot of hurt players.
Right.
And you're like, you know that...
You know what, though? History is fucking written by the winners, and we won that one, bitch.
Goddamn right.
So fuck
well,
you.
Well, according to him,
fuck you, Neville Longbottom.
but according to Neville Longbottom, he was saying that, like, it's almost like they wanted to lose because then they could really, like, dial in at home. It's almost like he made it seem... Yeah, I'm starting to think Neville's full of shit. Dude, they're... Now that I'm saying it out loud, like, in my mind, I'm like, dude, what a great point. Now I'm like, it's almost like he's making it seem like he had this, like, when that dude has that, like, hot chick who, like, dumps him, and he's like, oh, it's even better. Now I got into stamp collecting. You know, it's like, if I'm so glad Tanya left, or else I would never gotten so into fucking stamps.
You want to see my butterfly collection?
Yeah.
All that pussy's gone, but man.
But man, look at these. These were once beautiful creatures.
Look at these beanie babies. They're going to be worth something one day.
I know. I was like, that's hilarious. But yeah, last night, and then I just kind of went home. Like, we all went to the casino.
Yeah.
But dude, I mean, the vibes were incredible.
Oh, last night was really great. I mean, you know. Well, I mean, he's such a nice guy. And like, I think that I was very drunk. And I didn't know he was going to be there, Matt. And so when I saw him, because I love the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, of course.
I just flipped
out. Dude, I did a Harry Potter reference on stage.
I was like, it's fucking Neville Longbottom. And then I think, and he was, he's a great guy, fun guy. I'm hanging out with him in Florida in a couple of weeks. I like him a lot. He, I think towards the end of the night, the Neville Longbottom shit was wearing him a little bit.
Right.
Because I was fucking going for it. I wouldn't let it go. I would not let it go. It was just Neville Longbottom the whole time. And when I sobered up the next day, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have.
No, man, that's fine, because our vibes were strong.
Right.
Because you weren't, like, digging at him. Like,
no.
You're a fan.
That's how you make friends. When you're guys, when you're real men.
Real men, ladies and gentlemen.
Real fucking men. The way you make friends and bond is by ripping each other to shit.
Because you know that there's an evolutionary reason for that.
Okay.
Because if you always, especially in leadership positions, the more power and leadership you have, the more it's imperative that you have to be mocked, because that's how people make sure that you're not a tyrannical leader. Like, if you can
stomach that.
Right. If you're like, hey, Neville Longbottom, people are like, oh, hey, what's going on? But if someone's like, hey, don't fucking call me that, people are like, we're going to take Neville's money back. Because then it's like you're not allowed to be wealthy. Like, that's
right.
In hunter-gatherer societies, like, the leadership position, if you can't take a joke, they fucking kill you.
Right.
Because that's
in the firehouse, it's the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I first got there, like, you know, there's a hierarchy. You got firemen, then you got lieutenants and captains in the firehouse.
Right.
And when I first got there, you know, when you first get on the job, you're told, you shut the fuck up. You're a piece of shit. Your first year in the department, you speak when spoken to. You do all the fucking bitch work.
Yeah.
You like fucking do it. And that's, they're right to teach you that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you get there and the firemen are like ripping on the lieutenant, you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then you realize it's just like, we're all running into that building together. This
right.
is the guy calling the shots. So it's like, I can't walk on eggshells with this motherfucker.
Exactly.
Right?
And yeah, you got to make sure that at all times that the people with power know that they're shit. Because if not, things can go really bad.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
once someone starts putting their own individuality, that's the irony of the left, is they adopt all these, like, socialist, altruistic, on paper policies, but in reality, they're not. It's a hierarchy that they won't let anyone affect, where it's like, this group of people can't be mocked. It's like, well, then we can't accept them.
Right.
Because that means they may take away the food, and they may take away the heat. And fucking, that's what happens. Like, look at any tyranny, like Stalin or any of these
people. You think they were fucking mocking him?
You don't.
She mentioned the stinky legs, and she fucking cut a head off.
Yeah, and it's like, look at the stinky legs. Yeah, like, if Henry VIII was one of our boys, we'd call him Stinky Legs.
Right.
And if he laughed, we'd let him keep all the money.
Right. Right.
And if he didn't laugh, we'd do a coup d'etat.
That's it.
We'd have our buddy Todd kill him. I was about to do a coup d'etat.
I like that guy.
Dude, that's some good points. Yeah, because if your leader doesn't, that's why it's like, that's one thing about Trump that it scares me, is his inability of mocking himself.
Oh, he can't take it at all.
I mean, that's like one of the worst signs.
Yeah, that is very troubling.
Yeah, because like, he has a sense of humor, but it can never be aimed at himself. It's like kind of like Dane Cook, how he'll never mock himself. Like, I follow him on Instagram and stuff, and there's never, ever, ever a shred of, like, oh, I tripped and fell on this hole, I'm an idiot. It's always, like, putting together a new fucking hour about to take over the world yet again.
Right, right.
And you're like...
Right there, just look at me.
Oh.
There it is.
Got Joe Papio, tour photographer.
Joe Papio. Follow him at...
Rock the Shots.
I Rock the Shots. On Instagram. All those beautiful pictures of me looking like I'm actually a...
Jiggly?
Because my wife called me Jiggly. And so it almost caused the situation.
It almost ruined the marriage.
Yeah, I'm like FaceTiming with her and the baby. And she's like, yeah, I mean, I can see, you know, you got the jiggle. And I'm like, oh, you think I look fat? She's like, yeah, like only in the last few shows. And I'm like, I got to go. And I just basically hung up on her.
Getting off the front.
because I knew I would start to say, like, oh, well, your fucking eyelashes aren't as great as you think they are.
Just cheap low blows. Oh, man, poor Neville. Last night,
poor
my deodorant ran out. I ate Thai curry. My deodorant ran out, so my breath and, like, my fucking right armpit were stinking so badly. And I was like, let's hang Neville Longbottom.
You took him under your stinky wing.
I was talking to, we were hanging out, Patty Jenkins, right? Director of Wonder Woman movie coming
out. The greatest person alive.
I mean, just an unbelievably great human being, and her husband, Sam. And, like, they're so nice. And I'm just breathing Thai curry. And fucking, like, I mean, the only thing I was missing was just farting the whole time.
Yeah, and salvaging. That'd be funny if, like, at 4 in the morning, you just end up in some garbage dump. You're like,
give it to me.
You're like, look at this fucking, dude, this is a fireplace from the 5th century. And I'm like, cute, that's just a piece of tinfoil. You're like, no, it fucking isn't.
In the beholder, you asshole. It's in the beholder's eye.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. And again, blueapron.com/Owen. And if you want more content, if you're like, hey, that's a lot of content, but I want even more, you can be a Patreon. Patreon.com/WDTL, which stands for Why Didn't They Laugh. Rather you give me $1, $3, $5, $25 a month, you can get more content. Talks with my mom. Some of these interviews I cut up, and so I'll put the whole things on there. I will maybe pick you up from the airport if you ever need a ride. And regardless of how much you pay, you get access to everything, because our community here with this podcast is small enough where I don't think anyone's going to take advantage of anything. So if you are running low on cash, $1. If you just recently won the lottery, or your father invented water and you make money every time someone drinks water, why don't you go ahead and do the full 25 a month? Because that helps pay for this insane... Well, I don't know what's happening right now with technology. Everything's becoming... Every file is, like, huge now. Like, the amount of money that it takes just to buy, like, hard drives and shit is insane. Because back in the day, you take a photo, it was like 1 megabyte. Now it's like 1 gigabyte. And to me, it's the same fucking photo. I don't understand any of this shit. But, yeah, and Apple is just squeezing me. They're always like, oh, you got to upgrade. I lost so many files because I upgraded my computer to some, like, new program. And my computer was, you know, it was 2 years old. So I guess it was obsolete at that point. So I lost a ton of shit. But it's all right. I can be a data hoarder. So maybe it was good for me. So yeah, patreon.com/WDTL. And thank you so much for listening, and have a great and wonderful day. Enjoy your food. Enjoy your family. Drink a lot of water. And of course, never forget to constantly drain your balls and fill your soul.